say hello to our good friend Dan Shanka. OurLads.com, a scouting service you need to check out if you are heavily involved in the draft and you're excited for what is coming to our city in about a month. Dan, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Yeah, looking forward to getting the guide done and getting it on all those NFL tables once they hit Nashville. So, we're, as you know, Darren, for the last 25 years, our lads has been the only guide the NFL uses to put on all the draft tables there for all the people that call in the, you know, their picks and things like that, and get it up there to the commissioner and the tables there at the draft, behind the scenes, I guess you'd say. Our lads guide is the only one that's on the table.
That's outstanding. So take us through this process, Dan, because you are a part of our lads on this side of things now. You've also been in the war rooms. You've been in there with the team as we sit here. And what I said in the last segment is, now that all these pro days, Ohio State had theirs yesterday, everything is winding down and wrapping up. And now you've got to have this little gap from all that stuff, work that has been compiled, and these meetings and data on these kids. And then you're going to get in a room and you're going to come up with your strategy for that draft in late April right here in Nashville. So take us through what goes on the team side as these pro days wrap up, and now you've got nothing until the draft. And free agency is still out there, but it's obviously pretty quiet now as well. And then take me through what it's like for our lads as you guys get all the data now that the combine's done and these pro days wrap up.
Well, first of all, Darren, we've got to the pro days are still, I mean, Missouri's having theirs today, and of course Alabama's was a little bit earlier this week, and Ohio State was yesterday, like you said. And what we're doing now is compiling all the verified information on the guys that did not participate in the combine. They might have been there for something, but it, you know, one guy's going to be hard to get anything on is Kyler Murray, because he isn't doing anything, you know.
Yeah.
And
so not getting taller.
He's not getting taller either. He's probably, he was probably shorter. That's why he didn't measure the second time there, you know, at Oklahoma. So, but anyway, you know, right now the teams are continuing their visits. They're bringing players in for their, they're allowed 30 visits. They'll be bringing players in for their visits. They're completing the pro days, their individual workouts. The scouts will be going out and working out guys that they've got a lot of questions on, and getting more information, because even if you don't draft a guy, you still want to build a book on them for the next time, you know, they may come up for free agency or what have you, and get to know the guy. And so each team will have quite a file before it's all over on all these guys. And then the medical information starts coming in to all the teams after, you know, the combine. I mean, there's so many doctors and things that, you know, physicians that check these guys out. You know, they, and then, you know, each of the ball clubs have friends, trainers, and they know the doctors from other teams, and they put their heads together, and then they put a grade, a medical grade on the guys too. You know, some may say, well, hey, we wouldn't take this guy before the third or fourth round because he may, because of degenerative, say, bone on bone or what have you in a knee, you know, he may not be able to last that long, or, you know, what, there's just so many different things they look at. And the other thing on the other sidebar there, some teams are like back guys. They won't take anybody with any kind of bad back at all. Others are knee people. If they got, you know, they've had a knee problem, they'll just put them on their sideboard and wouldn't take them till very late or sign them as a free agent. So all that kind of stuff is going on, but the boards will not be set. And keep in mind, there's 32 teams out there, and all 32 teams are going to have different boards. And you usually stack your top 150 players, and you should get your draft out of that top 150. And it's kind of surprising that all teams generally do that, because everybody's board is different.
Dan, we went down to Miami twice on this show to learn a little bit more about the Titans' free agent pickups. And they got Cameron Wake. And then a couple of days later, they got Ryan Tannehill as their backup quarterback. And in those conversations, the two reporters that we talked to down there, I don't know how serious it is or not. We had fun with it, but they act like it's like a known fact that the mantra down, I guess the saying down there in South Florida is tank for Tua. I mean, so I guess the Dolphins are ready just to pack in this season and go for it with that franchise quarterback and Tua in the following draft. It, with that being said, do you think, do you believe that? Does that change the way, do you guys see the Dolphins trying to draft a quarterback, or do you think they are indeed holding out and waiting for next year?
No, I don't think there's any way, not in the NFL, that you can, when you got so many moving parts, that you're going to tank and throw games, I guess you'd say. You know, I just don't think that's going to happen, because you've got to, you know, first of all, everybody is out there playing their behinds off for contracts, you know, whether it's free agency the following year or what have you. So all those guys are graded, you know, not only by their opponents but by their own team for upcoming paydays. So nobody's going to be slacking on anything. So, no, I think they'll let it run its course. And now if they play with, you know, certain quarterbacks, they might not win too many games, but that might not necessarily be technically tanking. But as we know, this is a quarterback league, and you got to have a quarterback to win games.
Well, and I would say that team needed to be torn down. It was full of mediocrity. They kind of needed to start over. So a lot of it makes sense, and it's a matter of who's available when they pick. You know, one guy I wanted to ask you about is a guy that is intoxicating when you look at him and when you look at his numbers. Montez Sweat flew up draft boards after the combine. Now we find out that there's a heart issue. Is that going to cause him to drop back down and possibly be in play at 19, or is he still a top 10 pick?
Well, I think he's still going to be a top 10 pick, because information that we got is that, you know, it's not that serious a problem, and they knew about it at Mississippi State when he had his physicals and things like that. So, and then, as you guys know, if you recall, a year ago, Maurice Hurst from Michigan, you know, he had a heart deal, and every year it seems like they had, somebody has a heart deal, and they got a monitor on them and a weighted vest, and they wear that during their 3 days there, and da-da-da-da-da. Well, Sweat didn't have any of that, okay? And so I think that he's going to be good to go from all our understanding. It's just, I think it's my understanding is, and this isn't, you know, 100%, because I don't have a shingle on the wall saying I'm a doctor, but I just, my understanding is it just takes a little bit of medication and it, you know, it's fine. So, but anyway, well, the only way we'll really know is all of a sudden if you see him start sliding down the draft boards, you know, it come draft time and he falls out of that top 10, but I don't know that that will happen. I mean, he had some red flags off the field up at Michigan State, which caused him to transfer to Mississippi State. So, you know, there might be a couple other things in play there, but like you say, as long as, I mean, the way he played and the way on the field and what he did at the combine, he's a top 10 pick.
One of the most interesting things that I thought that came out of the combine for the Titans was when Ed Oliver, the defensive tackle from Houston, revealed that they asked him about standing up and playing on the edge. Do you think, I mean, he's about 6'2", 280? He's kind of undersized at defensive tackle, but does he have the footwork and the hips to stand up and be on the edge, or is that just them just kind of thinking out loud?
Well, I think maybe thinking out loud a little bit, because you'd like to have somebody that, you know, could set the edge with some size and everything. But to me, Oliver is your under tackle, you know, and in that 4-3 scheme. And, you know, he's a guy that's going to have to, you know, that's what he would be the best fit for. And obviously, the Titans, they're running, you know, 3-4 and then variety of the 4-3. But, you know, all the teams do. They're interchangeable, really. But you got to line up with a base defense of some sort. So, but anyway, I think Ed is best. And he can't, I'll tell you what now, he can't, when you see him on film, there's times where he looks like a linebacker going over bags and things like that. So, yeah, he could play up, but. But, I mean, you know, you've seen defensive linemen drop in coverage before, and that's what he could do. But, hey, he's going to make his money rushing the passer from the inside because those guys aren't around. There's just not many, you know, inside pass rushers.
There's a couple tight ends out there, and Dan, we keep hearing that with the Titans. I don't know what John Robinson's going to do at 19. I can't imagine that they're going to jump up there and take one at 19, but you keep seeing their names pop up. I've said on this show, unless you tell me they're at the level of Travis Kelce and Zach Ertz or that's their potential, then I get really interested. Anything outside of that, not interested at all. What do you see about the guys at the top of your board at the tight end position?
Well, I'll tell you, they're pretty good. Now, the top couple at Iowa, Noah Fant, excellent athlete. And athletically, these guys are every bit. You know, Kelce, when he came, he's a third-round pick coming out of Cincinnati, you know. And he had all kinds of off-field problems, and he was, you know, a little bit different, let's put it that way. Well, he gets in the NFL, and he's, you know, one of the top couple tight ends out there. And these guys athletically, you know, are better than he was coming out. Now, you know, they got to fill out. They got to get a little bit bigger because they're around 250 or so. That, you know, both of them at Iowa play 30 miles from us. So I know both the tight ends, T.J. Hockenson and Noah Fant, really well. And both those guys are first-round NFL caliber. Now, to take them at 19, you know, that's very possible because I think that really what they are is the bottom third of the first round. You know, I keep hearing craziness about guys going at eight to Detroit, but eight Detroit in the second round can get another tight end because this is such a deep tight end draft, you know. But those two guys there, and then Irv Smith, he's more of a H-back kind of guy from Alabama. He's really not the receiver those two guys are. But there are some very, very – this is the best tight end draft I've ever seen, to be honest with you.
What? Why would Detroit draft a tight end? What do they know about tight ends?
Yeah, the guy they had just scored 15 touchdowns for the Colts.
Ebron couldn't catch a cold in Detroit. He goes to Indy, and he's a world beater. So what the hell do they know about tight ends?
Nothing. You can see that on a lot of teams.
Yeah.
Wasted talent at places, and that was the one thing when I was a college scout going to different college teams. You know, I see all the wasted talent. Go, why in the heck won't you play this guy? You know what I mean? Or throwing the ball more. Hey, like Fant. I mean, it's arguable he should have been thrown. He's a matchup at Iowa, but you could put him at wide receiver, and you could play him as an inline tight end, and they had two tight ends, so maybe, you know, they kind of negated each other because they're both. I mean, they could have put records out of sight if they wanted to.
Well, we saw that here with Alvin Kamara and Jalen Hurd when they couldn't get Kamara on the field.
Yeah,
which was absolutely absurd.
That was more about a head coach promising a player something.
You still can get both of them on the field. You absolutely could. One last question. From me, and you brought up the size at outside linebacker and setting the edge. I think that's important to the Tennessee Titans. So who are some of the bigger outside linebacker candidates who could be there at 19? Who are those set-the-edge guys that Dean Pease likes?
Well, you know, that's the thing, that Pease did a great job at the Ravens, getting those caliber of players out there. But I think that, you know, a Jalen Ferguson – you know, could be there. Rashawn, I tell you what, now it wouldn't surprise me if Rashawn Gary is there.
From Michigan.
To be honest with you. Yes, at Michigan. Now, I know everybody's talking about a top 10 guy, but you know what? Craziness happens.
Not everyone goes in the top 10. We've learned that.
That's right. And quarterbacks and things, you know, will go up there and they don't deserve to be, but, you know, they will. So, you know, I think that's a couple guys. And, you know, I don't know if Quillen Ferrell will be there. But like I said, you never know. I mean, you're surprised every year. I'm surprised every year on what happens and how, you know. Well, remember Jonathan Allen from Alabama? He fell all the way down to 14 or 15, wherever it was, the Washington Redskins. And I'll guarantee you, he was a top five pick.
Aaron Donald, you know? I think, went 11th to the Rams.
Yeah. So, you know, so things, there's going to be a good player there. And, in fact, you know, there's going to be a variety of guys. I mean, it might even be a guy like Brian Burns, for instance, from Florida State, who's a terrific football player. So there's going to be some guys available there at 19.
Dan, always appreciate the visit, and won't be the last time before the draft. Thanks for doing this, and we'll talk soon.
You betcha. Anytime. I'm looking forward to the draft in Nashville. I think it's going to be fun. The people who haven't been to Nashville will absolutely love it. So anytime you want me on, happy to do it.
Thank you, Dan. Dan Shonka, OurLads.com, a great scouting service, and you can go find all their work there at that website,